Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello and welcome to Monday's podcast on February 16th. Hope you've had a wonderful weekend. Plenty to get through today, including calls to tackle repeated flooding in a village near Maidstone. And we'll hear from the Tunbridge Wells skeleton gold medalist after his amazing performance at the Winter Olympics. All of that still to come. But first, let's take a look at our top story today. If you're selling a car in Kent, you're being warned to be on the lookout for so-called black oil scammers. It's when fake buyers secretly pour oil under the bonnet during inspections to drive down the asking price or claim the car is a write-off. Jake Ross is from Folkestone. He fell victim to the scam. He's been speaking to reporter Sam Lennon.
Within 2 or 3 minutes, they asked me to move the car away from the security camera for better light, which I thought was a bit odd. But anyway, I did as they suggested. One of the guys then distracted me by asking me to open up the boot, which I did. The other one, meanwhile, was pouring engine oil over the engine and into the water reservoir. Started the vehicle and they said, oh, the engine's blown up, the car's worthless, we'll take it away from you for free. So that's basically what happened.
And I think you said the engine was smoking.
Yes, it was, yeah. So I could see and smell burning oil. And I was confused. I thought, well, the car was fine before they arrived. It's just been serviced. It's had an MOT, clean bill of health, no problems at all. So I was really confused and concerned that the engine had suddenly blown up.
They said, we'll take the car away for you in a title for free. What then? What happened then?
Well, I said I wanted to consult the AA first. And then the dialogue just became not heated, but they were insistent that the car was completely valueless, that the engine would cost me thousands of pounds to replace, and really my best option was just to let them have the car and take it away. So that's what happened. But I wasn't keen. I didn't feel something was quite right, although after about 3/4 of an hour, I could feel myself beginning to just wanting to move on. And there was a part of me that just, yeah, I wanted to give the car away for nothing.
Why? Because of the pressure you're under.
Yeah, I was under pressure. I was beginning to feel really tired. And it was clear that their argument was quite pressing. Smoke, the oil everywhere. They'd managed to convince me that the engine had blown up.
Were they threatening in any way? Did they threaten you physically?
No, there was no physical threats. It was just a persistence and an argument that the car was valueless. I really ought to just give it away. And I ended up repeating myself, saying, no, thanks very much. I'd really like to get the AA to have a look at it first. Mm. And it became almost a battle of wits.
Mm-hmm. And did it ended up that you paid them off, just emptied your wallet of £200?
I did. Towards the end, they finally made an offer to buy the car from me for £2,000. And they said it would be cash and they would take it away on a lorry. But again, I wasn't keen, of course. And one of the individuals said, look, I've been paid £150 to come and have a look at your car. And then I thought the best thing I can do is just pay them off, give them some cash and just ask them to leave. So that's what I did.
Did they accept that?
They did. Yeah, they did. They put the money in the pocket and they went.
Advice from the AA is to remain vigilant and have a friend or relative present during inspections.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, it's emerged a man who died while working at a construction site in Sittingbourne had been crushed by a concrete drain. Joe Heath was helping build a new logistics centre at the Eurolink Industrial Estate when it happened last month. An inquest has opened into the 36-year-old's death. The health and safety executive is still investigating. A woman's been seriously injured injured after being hit by a car in Margate. Police and paramedics were called to Marine Drive on Saturday evening. She was taken to hospital for treatment. Now, volunteers say they've searched more than 500 acres of woodland as concerns grow for a missing 18-year-old from Maidstone. Jason Stevens disappeared on Friday evening and his car was found near Blean Woods in Canterbury. Teams have been out with police and rescue dogs over the weekend. You can see his picture over on our website. People living in a new estate near Canterbury say new railings have made their homes feel like a prison. Residents at the Woodlands Estate in Broad Oak once had views of green space, but that's now obscured by a dark metal fence. Ramoon has been sharing her experience with Kent Online.
So I moved in this area like 1 year ago. I bought it just before Christmas flat. I've been saving for 17 years for this flat. And it was so lovely area. It was green. It was rabbits coming, foxes. We see all sorts of animals in here. It was open and nice. And a couple of weeks ago, it's literally, I came home, I see fence like this. I was so shocked. It spoiled the view. We can't see light now. Even if those gaps are here, it doesn't help at all. It feels like a prison, really. And it's just basically you want to close a window. I'm not happy about this. And I had recently evaluation because I was guaranteed that it will drop. And agency said the value has dropped quite a lot. And even to sell to someone now, nobody would buy it. I wouldn't buy myself if I see this fence. To be honest, it's just so disappointing. I feel really like trapped in my place.
Bosses at the development company, Barrett David Wilson Homes, say the fence wasn't installed by them and they're in urgent discussions with the landowner regarding a potential solution. Canterbury City Council are also investigating an alleged breach of planning rules.
Kent Online News.
Firefighters have been tackling a huge blaze that broke out at a former cinema in Canterbury over the weekend. 15 engines were sent to the derelict Odeon building in St George's Place on Saturday afternoon. Nearby student accommodation and businesses had to be evacuated and a warning was issued about smoke in the area. Crews have since been dampening down hotspots and investigations underway to find out the cause of the blaze. A mother and son from Folkestone have been convicted in court over a violent hammer attack. Charlie and Laura Haynes banged on the victim's front door and assaulted her with the weapon, leaving her with missing teeth and a fractured jaw. It followed a row about windows being smashed. The 21 and 40-year-olds will be sentenced in April. A shoplifter from Tunbridge Wells has been given a chance to sort her life out after stealing from stores including M&S and Morrison's. A court was told Holly Bridges is a vulnerable woman with drug and alcohol issues. The 43-year-old from Linden Fields has been given a suspended sentence and placed on a community order with support for her mental health and addictions. She'll also have to pay compensation.
Kent Online News.
Bosses at a Kent pub say they're disappointed to have been given a one-star food hygiene rating. The Ship Inn in Conya between Sittingbourne and Faversham was inspected in November and a report's revealed issues with the management of food safety. The landlord says they acted immediately to address the concerns and make improvements. Elsewhere, a pub near Maidstone that never reopened after the first COVID lockdown has now been boarded up following reports of antisocial behaviour. The Harrow Inn at Hubbard's Hill in Lenham was previously used as a restaurant, hotel and wedding venue. Neighbours say people have been breaking in and starting fires. Council bosses say the site's now been secured and the cost will be covered by the landowner. A Kent Academy Trust, which is said to be taken over, has admitted breaking the rules over a £15,000 payment to an outgoing staff member. Bosses at the Tenterden Schools Trust failed to get authorisation from the Department for Education for a settlement agreement. There have been concerns about job losses at Homewood School as a result of the move to Alethea at Academies Trust. We've asked the Trust for a comment. There are calls for action to tackle repeated flooding on a road in a village near Maidstone. Residents on Vicarage Lane in East Farley say they've been dealing with the problem for 13 years. Rebecca Woodhead lives there.
The puddle behind us, every time it rains, it covers the complete road. We've contacted KCC numerous times to see if there's anything that can be done with no result. And now every time it rains, we're struggling to walk down the road for children to get to school or people to get to the station. And yeah, we need to get something sorted.
In the latest response from Kent County Council, bosses say the road doesn't meet intervention criteria for extra drainage work. Meantime, parents are growing increasingly frustrated over the state of a dangerous footpath near Chilmington Green Primary School. Despite consistent complaints to council, the route in Mock Lane in Ashford has remained waterlogged in the winter and overgrown with brambles in warmer months. Jo Vane, whose son Joseph started at the primary school in September, told Kent Online there have been so many near misses with children walking along the road. 5 years on from the school's relocation to its current premises, Kent County Council say work will take place this year between April and June to improve the footpath.
Kent Online News.
A Snodland mum who lost her son to stillbirth at 20 weeks pregnant is speaking out to show other parents they aren't alone and that support and hope exist. Baby Jackson was born sleeping last December and later tests showed he'd not been getting enough oxygen or nutrients while in the womb. Jade's been supported by Charity Sands, which supports families through baby loss. She's also taking on a skydive to raise money so they can continue their good work. You can read her full story and find out how to contribute to Sands by clicking on the story at Kent Online. The owners of a family-run garage in Dartford have announced they're putting one of their sites on the market. For nearly 25 years, Pam and Jeff Manwaring have been behind the Orchard Garage in Park Road next to the M25, but the site's now on the market for almost £800,000. The pair say it's time to take a step back, but their other site in Heath Lane will remain open with all jobs protected. Now, a food redistribution charity providing low-cost meals is expanding to help more people in Maidstone. The Bread and Butter Thing is a weekly club that offers fresh, nutritious food at a reduced price. I've been speaking to Mark Game, who's the founder of the project.
The Bread and Butter Thing is not about destitution. We don't work with crisis. We work with people that are food insecure and really struggling to get by. So what that means is there are a lot of people that are being dragged into this set of circumstances by the cost of living, not just by rising energy prices, but by things such as mortgage interest rates going up, wages not stretching the way they used to. So what we're seeing is a growing number of working families coming in to our food clubs, and it's not their fault. They budget, they plan, and they're doing everything that you would want them to do so that people can't say, well, you know, it's all about benefits. It's not. Some people on benefits are there, but the majority of people nowadays are working families, and it's just because this cost of living crisis has really hit them hard.
I think that's something that sort of struck me when we were talking, you know, when I've spoken previously to other food banks and other charities and things like that. And as you say, it's not, you know, people living on the street that are accessing these services. It is working families, you know, you're seeing nurses and professionals that are reaching out. I think one of the key things as well is that we are talking about families, you know, so quite often adults with children to bring up. Is that something that you're seeing quite a lot? People come to you because they need help feeding their children?
Yeah, the vast majority of people, as you say, Kate, the vast majority of people that come to us are working families, and it's typically I know it's not a good number, but the typical family unit for us is 3.7. So that's the average number of people that are being fed by every member that comes along. So, you know, we're talking about families of four. So there's always two kids involved. And we're seeing that more and more. And the truth is, why is it that way for us? Well, the government's put all these fiscal drags and freezes, not only on taxes and benefits for personal allowance, but also on thresholds for free school meals, healthy start vouchers, everything that's there to kind of help people get by. The thresholds have remained too low, and then they're not keeping up pace. So that's one of the things. And we just find it's really such a shame that there's so much hidden help out there. So there's over £24 billion worth every year of benefits that go unclaimed, and it's because they're not marketed or they're really hard to get. So the kind of application forms are too long, too onerous. The language is far too complicated, and you just don't know where to go. So, and if you think about it, as a working person, if I suddenly was out of work or suddenly my mortgage rates go up, who do I turn to ask for advice? My employer? Does my employer know how to access benefits? They don't typically. So it's a really tough call on working families.
They've already got three sites in the county town, with the latest opening in the Blackthorn Trust Hub today.
Kent Online News.
A refugee family who built their lives in Kent only for a visa glitch to throw their future here in doubt say a long-awaited Home Office decision has brought huge relief. The Alabrash Hachmi family, who live near Gravesend, had been left unable to prove their right to live, work or study in the UK because of problems with the digital e-visa system. The Home Office has now granted them indefinite leave to remain after months of uncertainty. Father Fawaz Suri Hachmi told Kent Online, "It genuinely feels like a heavy weight has been lifted." A pair of iconic traditional phone boxes in Canterbury are set to go under the hammer. The Grade 2 listed boxes are next to Westgate Towers and have a design that dates back to 1939. They'll go up for auction this week and could go for up to £14,000. They can't be removed from the site, but they can be repurposed. Plans for a new leisure centre in Tunbridge have gone on show today. Bosses want to close the current Angel Centre building and create a new facility nearby. It'll include an enhanced gym, sports hall, cafe and soft play area. Details will be on display at the existing site throughout this week. And a retired school teacher has been appointed as Sheppey's first town crier. Auditions were held over the weekend, with Bruce Horton winning a shout off. The roles being created as part of the month-long Festival of Sheppey taking place this summer.
Kent Online Sports.
Kent's Matt Weston has become the first Brit to win two gold medals at the same Winter Olympics. The 28-year-old from Tunbridge Wells came back from 0.3 seconds behind to claim victory in the mixed team skeleton with Tabby Stocker last night. It follows his win in the individual men's event on Friday. He spoke to reporters in Cortina after that first victory.
In the last corner, it's not too crazy, so I was just like holding on, thinking, oh, I hope I've done enough, I hope I've done enough. And then I came up in the outrun. I didn't even see the time, I just saw green. And I didn't just started crying straight away. I almost didn't break. The emotions just hit me like a flood. To put my name among some of the great British sliders that we've had before that have managed to become Olympic champion as well is insane. The fact that I'm up there with them, but also to be the first man to do it feels extra special, and kind of it definitely means something, and hopefully I've set a trend for British skeleton in the future.
Team GB also claimed victory in their mixed team snowboard cross. There was less success for Gillingham though, as they were beaten by Crewe Alexandra in League 2. It was a disappointing 1-0 defeat away from home, which could damage the Gills' hopes of reaching the playoffs. Manager Gareth Ainsworth says it was a frustrating result.
Yeah, we deserve something out of the game, you know, today. We've had the better chances, and then we conceded a set piece, and I can't keep going on about conceding set pieces because it's not good enough. But first half, I thought we were very good. We looked dangerous. Keeper's made an unbelievable save. Gareth McCleary's had one off the line. It's same story, you know, where you think you deserve something out of the game, and if you don't get that, go on with a 0-0, because I can't remember, apart from Tommy O'Reilly in the second half, he went through and had a shot on target. Because we were going for it. I can't remember a shot on target from them in the game, except that one. The one where we're going for trying to get back in the game. So it's frustrating, because we go on with a 0-0 and we go, right, thanks, point. But we don't. We somehow go on with nothing, and gutted for the boys, because they gave everything. We caused some real trouble for Crewe's defence. But when they scored, they changed the formation. They went to five at the back, very hard to break down. We didn't manage it well. And end of game. So unfortunately, we come away with nothing, but we can keep saying that, you know, we're the better chances and the better, yeah, whatever. But we've got to be better at set pieces. We can't let them in, because they're a big part of the game.
Striker Sam Vokes also spoke to reporters after Saturday's match.
Feeling very frustrated. I think we've come away from a game there which we've arguably dominated chances, at least. Set piece has undone us. Not happy to concede that, but I suppose we've got to look at the positives. Created a lot of chances, come away on top, but God, we didn't come away with the points.
Chances wise, you had two really good ones, and the keeper's pulled out two really, really good saves. When you're sort of down on your luck and you need something to run for you, unfortunately, they don't go in.
No, exactly. Look, they've come away. They've won 1-0 there. We've come away. We've had shots blocked on the line. Keeper's made some good saves. I think he got man of the match in the end. So that kind of sums up where the game was and what happened in the game. So, yeah, we're frustrated, but we'll come away. We'll look at it and we'll go again Tuesday.
Final third of the season now the gaffer's just said we've got to start winning and start winning quickly. How big a game is Tuesday now for us?
Yeah, they're all huge. If we want to achieve what we still think we can and we deserve to, then we need to start picking up the points. There's no good coming away today and saying we've got the we played the better team and we were the better team and had the better chances, but we come away with no points. We can't keep saying that. So there's a frustration there. Lads are gutted, but we need to pick ourselves up because we need to go again Tuesday.
They're back on the road tomorrow as they travel to take on Chesterfield. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.